In that case, we're ready to begin.
May it please the court. Robert Seriani on behalf of the appellants, Mr. Stewart and Tiara Harvest. I would like to reserve 6 minutes for rebuttal, if possible.
You may. Just keep an eye on the clock, please.
Thank you, Judge.
Sure.
Your Honor. The authority to seize does not equal the authority to destroy. This case asks the question whether the government might take 1,300 pounds of lawful hemp, which is agricultural crop, and order its destruction within 24 hours of the seizure, and also refuse the owner's documented request that it was a lawfully possessed and lawfully item that's not contraband. The city then burned and destroyed the items without notice, without a hearing, and without an opportunity to be heard to Mr. Stewart or Tiara Harvest. In addition, there was no criminal investigation concerning the contents of the storage unit. Two of our most strongest points on appeal come from the district court's order on the summary judgment. The first strong point that we believe helps our appeal concerns that the court found that Mr. Stewart would have a Fourth Amendment claim against Officer Smith for the seizure and destruction of the items in the storage unit. The second part of the order that helps our case is where the district court found that Mr. Stewart did not abandon the property. And those two facts mean that the case should be decided by a jury and not on summary judgment. In addition, we have cited in our case the Sobedal case, which says that there must be greater constitutional protection if an officer or city is going to destroy property. In this case, there was no secondary procedure in place for Mr. Stewart to contest the destruction of the property. Here, it was lawful hemp. The officers could have tested the hemp to determine if it was marijuana or hemp, but they didn't do so. In addition, the city's own statute, 69.505, gives a person the opportunity 15 days of notice to contest a foreclosure or a sale of a property. Again, that did not occur. So we're asking this court, given those factors, to remand the entire case for a jury hearing and trial so that the jury could decide the abandonment question and also if there were Fourth Amendment violations in the case. Leading to our Monell claim, we have Officer Cass's testimony. He's a 30B6 witness. And the city's own officer testified that there was no investigation of whether or not it was contraband. He said that the policy and the procedures of the city were to destroy anything that they possessed or came into contact with. And again, those are jury questions that were decided preemptively by the district court.
Did the arrangement for the lease of the storage unit or rental of the storage unit permit the owner of the facility upon lapse of payments to sell the contents?
Yes, Your Honor. There was a contract between Mr. Stewart and the extra space storage unit. And that contract in place said that the storage unit owner could do that within a period of time. But that would give the owner, that's a contractual obligation between Mr. Stewart and the owner of the storage unit, not between Mr. Stewart and the police department. So in that respect, Mr. Stewart had a credit card on file that was involuntarily expired. And that's what led the storage unit to go to the unit and actually look what's inside. But the procedure under the policies between the storage unit and the contract calls for a period of time where a sale could be set by the storage unit owner, and then Mr. Stewart could buy the unit or reclaim, have a preemptive period to reclaim the unit. But that, again, that did not occur.
I think the district court noted in its longstanding precedent here that if you have to have a Monell claim, you need an established customer policy, and it has to be persistent and widespread, and it has to be a permanent and well-settled city policy. what precisely is the policy that you rely on?
The policy that we rely upon are 2 points. One is Officer Katz and one is Officer Smith. Regarding Officer Smith, the deposition testimony showed that Officer Smith could have been the de facto final control person in charge of making decisions. And again, that's a jury question that we never got to.
What's the policy? That's a person, not a policy.
Okay. The policy would be from Officer Katz's testimony. Officer Katz said that if there's contraband or believed to be contraband, that the city has no obligation, the police department has no obligation to actually contact the owner of the contraband, or has no obligation to notice or have a hearing of the destruction of contraband. But again, this was not contraband. This is...
I understand your point on that, but that's one person's testimony. But where's the policy? Where's the documentation of the policy, the practice, and the city's affirmation of that?
Understood. There was nothing in written down, but it's more of a custom.
And, like one guy says it and it becomes a custom?
Yes, because
really?
His testimony.
What's your best support for that?
It was in Officer Katz's testimony, where Officer Katz said that anytime they have contraband, they're not going to contact the owner. They're not going to have a notice or a hearing. They're just going to destroy it.
Can I interject here and ask you to maybe dissect this a little bit? But the first time you answered Judge McEwen's question, I thought you referred to Officer Katz and to what sounded like not a policy, but a legal opinion, that he was given the opinion that they were free to destroy it. And now it sounds like you're telling me that the deposition testimony was that any time, you know, that they actually do, that is their practice, destroy it. So could you give us the record site for the testimony you're wanting us to refer to, please?
Right. It was in, he's the 30B6 witness.
Yes.
And I'll pull the actual citation here in a second, but he does actually go into that.
Okay. Well, maybe when you come back, but just to be clear, I think we're looking for the policy or the practice, not for the person and not for his legal opinion about whether that is permissible.
Right. Okay. Well, the citation would be from the record from volume 2, ER-117, and volume 3, ER section 420.
Sorry, 3-ER-420. Uh-huh.
And 2-ER-117.
The second site, would you say that one again, please?
Sure, yes. It's 3-ER-420. And the first one was 2-ER-117.
All right. Thank
and
you.
In those sections, that's where we rely upon the Monell issues as well. But beyond the Monell issues, there's still due process concerns, for example, of a notice opportunity to be heard and actually hearing on whether or not it was contraband or not. And in this case, a simple test would have shown that it was actually lawfully agricultural crop. It had a THC value of under 0.3, and there was a certificate in place for all the items within the contents of the storage unit. And we think that that's a jury question that should have been decided and not grounds for summary judgment. I could see I'm approaching 6 minutes. I'd like to reserve the rest for rebuttal if possible.
That's fine.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Michelle Yoder on behalf of the City of Tacoma this morning. This appeal ultimately turns on one question, whether the record contains evidence from which a reasonable jury could find that the alleged constitutional violations are attributable to the City of Tacoma itself, as Monell requires. Even viewing the evidence in the light most favorable to the appellant, the answer is no. At the outset, it's important to remember that the only defendant before this court is the City of Tacoma. There is no individually named officer before this court. Thus, even assuming an individual officer violated the Fourth Amendment or the 14th Amendment, that does not establish liability as to the City of Tacoma. Monell does not ask simply whether an employee violated the Constitution. It requires the alleged constitutional violation to be attributable to the municipality itself through a municipal policy, custom, or other recognized basis for municipal liability. I would like to correct the record. To the extent that the appellant asserts that Katz testified contraband is always destroyed, that is inaccurate, and I would refer the court to 1 SER 008 and 1 SER 010, where Katz explicitly testified that contraband is not always destroyed, and it is reviewed individually on a case-by-case basis. The record before the court is wholly void of any evidence that imposes liability under Monell. The district court declined to resolve the abandonment issue as a matter of law. Contrary to counsel's assertion, the court did not find the property wasn't abandoned. What the district court said was that it could not make a determination. But despite its inability to make a determination, the district court correctly concluded that the essential elements of Monell were not met, and therefore the case could not proceed to a jury. The appellant's Monell theory was analyzed by the court, and the court determined that there was no policy or custom because the appellant showed no longstanding practice, and that is based on Lieutenant Katz's testimony.
I did try to look up the citation that your friend on the other side referenced, and at least in volume two, here's the testimony more or less, and I'd like you to comment on it. It says, who makes the call? And then he says, well, it's not a defined person. Basically, officers can just use discretion. Would that be sufficient to establish a policy under Monell?
A single discretionary decision made by an officer is not sufficient under Monell to establish a policy. Monell distinguishes between discretionary authority and municipal policy. The fact that an officer exercises judgment in an individual case does not establish that the municipality adopted a policy.
Mr. Gray does identify some people in the Monell chain, doesn't he? In his pleadings?
I apologize, Your Honor. Mr. Gray?
Yeah. He does identify some people that he thinks are responsible for this Monell policy.
Okay, so Mr. Stewart, the appellant.
Stewart, I'm
yes,
sorry.
He does identify that I, as the city's attorney, ratified the conduct. So that is one argument that he's put forward that the district court properly dismissed.
There's nothing wrong with you arguing this case, but do you feel comfortable arguing a case where you're in that position?
Well, I think that the appellant conflates the district or the city attorney's authority to deny a claim and to make decisions in the legal process with approval of a police officer's discretionary decision. Those are two very distinct and different things.
You are the city attorney.
That's incorrect. I'm a deputy city attorney.
Deputy. Are there other deputies in the office?
There are a handful, maybe 10 or 12, I believe, other deputy city attorneys throughout the city of Tacoma.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. So because the appellant cannot meet the requirements articulated in Celotex, i.e. establish a prima facie case under Monell, the district court's dismissal of the federal constitutional claims was proper, and the city of Tacoma would ask that this court affirm the dismissal.
Did the officers think this was marijuana?
They were acting under the reasonable belief that this was marijuana. Admittedly, it appeared to be marijuana by sight and smell. Mr. Stewart himself concedes that the property could not be, the product could not be distinguished from marijuana, short scientific testing. It, by all appearances, it was marijuana. And then also—
Was it tested?
It was never tested. That is correct. The Washington Administrative Code also has a provision that officers can rely on statements of people in possession of contraband. And here, Extra Space Storage was in possession of the contraband, and they informed the Tacoma Police Department that they believed it was marijuana. And because of that, they believed it, they wanted it removed from, they asked the Tacoma Police Department to remove it from their site.
Do we know it wasn't marijuana if it was never tested?
It's never been tested for the purpose of summary judgment.
Gone, right?
It is gone. That's accurate. And for the purpose of summary judgment, the city did concede that it was hemp.
That was my understanding. But I think the concession, I just wondered.
But not lawfully stored hemp. And I want to make that distinction. Mm-hmm. The city has always maintained that it was contraband and that because it was stored in a facility that was not regulated or authorized by the Washington State Department of Agriculture under the Washington Administrative Code, it was contraband. And the code allowed for lawful destruction of the property by law enforcement.
Even if it was hemp.
Even if it was hemp, that's accurate, Your Honor.
Yes.
And so that takes me then to the two state claims that were asserted by the appellant. First, negligence. That the district court dismissed the negligence claim, finding no individual duty owed to the appellants. And the appellant did not challenge that finding on appeal, and therefore the claim should be considered abandoned. Second, the state law conversion claim also fails for the very reason we just discussed. The Washington Administrative Code provides lawful justification to destroy hemp, and the officers were acting under that code. And second, even if the court found the code didn't apply for some reason, the city maintains its position that under the contract signed and entered into by Mr. Stewart with Extra Space Storage, he was in default. The district court found as a matter of law that as of April 14th, 2021, when the product was turned over to the Tacoma Police Department, Stewart had been in default of the contract for at least 60 days. That finding was not challenged on appeal. Under the terms of the contract, Stewart agreed that if he was in default for 30 days or more, the property was conclusively deemed abandoned, and that is the city's second position for which the conversion claim fails. So for those reasons, the city asks that the district court's judgment be affirmed. I'd be happy to answer any additional questions the court has.
I don't know that we have any. Looks like we don't. Thank you for your argument, counsel. We'll hear from...
Thank you, Your Honor. Briefly, I believe the code that we're discussing is 16-306. And even if, first of all, the officers never said that or indicated that they were invoking that statute or that code to actually destroy the hemp. So they were operating under the fact that it was contraband or marijuana, not under that section of the code. And even if we're operating under that section of the code, it still gives a 15-day period for the owner to object or the owner to have notice or prove that it was lawful. In addition, we have one other factor that actually does help our case, where there is testimony that the representative of TR Harvest and Mr. Stewart, the employee, did contact the police department on, I believe it was April 15th, and said that it was lawfully agricultural crop and gave them notice. But at that point, the order to destroy it was already entered. So they did take some affirmative action to show that it was lawful crop and not illegal contraband. And then another point that came up on the argument was about the Monell claim. And I'll just read the portion of Katz's testimony that we believe helps our case. And Katz testified it was the custom to destroy potential contraband when it's reasonable to do that. And that's from section 1-ER-19. And he said that there was no waiting period necessary, no honor contact, and it was uniform department-wide permanent destruction. And we think that satisfies Monell claim for a jury instruction case and a case where the jury should decide it, not on summary judgment. If there's no further questions, I'll rest.
It doesn't appear that there are any further questions. Thank you for your argument, counsel. Thank you both of you.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate argument from both of you. I can't see both of you, but we appreciate your argument. And we'll take that case under advisement and go on to the next case on the calendar, please.